Okay, let's humble ourselves now for our study and worship in the Word of God. Let's begin with a word of prayer and give you a report on the pastor's conference at the next session. And got a little surprise for you. Kit called and said, are we going to have any notes for me to print up? Where are you? What's going on? I hadn't gotten to him in time. And I said, nope, no passing out notes. Tomorrow, or this Sunday, we're going to do something a little special. So we'll wait for a little special the next hour. Right now, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. And that means be filled with the Holy Spirit, for He is the true teacher. So test yourself to see if you're trusting in Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for our assembly. How grateful we are for the freedom we enjoy in this country. The freedom to assemble and study your word as we see fit. There are forces that seek to take away this freedom. But the study of the word of God breeds hate by saying that only those who believe in Jesus Christ enter into eternal life. But right now, we have a freedom to study your word, the truth that is there. We pray, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. We've taken some time. We've gone to Exodus 34, Psalm 86, different routes. Let's get back to our study on spiritual love. Spiritual love is, first of all, the new commandment for the church. Let's look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13 by way of introduction. John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus Christ is setting up with these men, the new age that is about to come on the scene of history. They knew nothing about it. It's not in the Old Testament. It's a surprise, as it were, as far as the Jews are concerned. And so it starts out in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you. Now, how do we know this is for the church and not Israel, because this is still in the time of Israel? Look at verse 33. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. In fact, just a few days. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. So, this is the night of the Passover. This is Wednesday night, or Tuesday night, going into Wednesday morning. He's meeting with the men. In a few hours, he will be crucified. He will be put into the ground for 3 days and three nights. It's very interesting. Those that want to hold to 3 days and three nights being from Friday at 6 o'clock to Sunday morning. Well, even if I hedge and give them 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which I don't, but if I did, what about three nights? There's no way you have three nights from Friday night to Sunday morning. So, we got to stay with what the Scripture says. And then, he will rise from the grave, be with them for 40 days, ascend to heaven, and when he ascends to heaven, we have the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, beginning of the church. So, he's going to leave in verse 33. Now, what's going to happen when he leaves? A new commandment, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you. Alright, let me just stop here. New. Please turn to Leviticus 19. Now, we're going to come back to this. We won't do it physically, but we'll come back to it, and I want you to have it in your mind. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, 17 and 18. Leviticus 19, 17 and 18. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen, a fellow Jew, in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. It's amazing how many times we go into, verse 17, how many times we go into sin and it doesn't bother the other people at all, but it causes us to be in sin. And we hate them, or angry, all of this, jealous. Doesn't bother them at all. Causes us to be in sin. Okay, now verse 18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. These are Jews. This is a command of Jew in relationship to Jew. Okay? Now, but, look at this now. Here's the old commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the old commandment. You shall love your neighbor, another Jew, as you love yourself. I am the Lord. I have the authority to give you this command, is the idea there. So, this is related, Jew to Jew. Now, are they not to love other people? That's not the point. Right now, the old commandment is a Jew's relationship with a Jew, a Hebrew with a Hebrew. So with that in mind now, let's go back to John 13:34. A new commandment, I, same Jesus that gave the old, give to you. That, here's the commandment, you love one another. Now, the one another here, there are two ways of saying one another in the Greek. One another of a different kind, one another of the same kind. This is that you shall love another believer. The issue here is loving another believer. The issue of the old command is loving another Jew, another Hebrew. The commandment, the new commandment, is loving another believer. Alright. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another of the same kind, another believer. By this, by loving them, all, forget the word men, it's not there, all angels and man will know that you are my disciples. People, the world is not going to know that you are a disciple, that you belong to Jesus Christ, because you go to church, because you carry a Bible, all this kind of stuff. It's whether or not you have this love for one another. This is one of the great problems in the world today. They see no difference between Christians and non-Christians. We act just like non-Christians. We judge one another, malign one another, fight with one another, separate from one another. They see no difference. They should be asking, what's your secret? How do you love one another the way you do? But they're not doing that. But that's what should happen. Whether or not you and I are Christians, depending on the amount of doctrine you have in your soul, it depends upon your fulfillment of this new commandment, to love one another as he loved. Now, continuing verse 35. By this, by loving one another as I've loved you, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love, spiritual love we're talking about, for one another. Okay. To love one another as I have loved you. Okay. First of all, this is new in origin. The source of the new commandment is Jesus Christ. In contrast with the Mosaic law, the old commandment, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. So it's new in origin. Secondly, it's new in recipients. The recipients. The recipients of the old commandment, nation of Israel. The race of Israel. Race of the Jews. However, the recipients here is a new spiritual creature in Jesus Christ, those who have believed in Christ as their personal Savior. This has never existed before in history. What exists in the church age has never existed. No matter how, whether it's 3,000 or 4,000 years of Old Testament, not going to argue, I know it in a million, but 3,000, maybe 3,500 years. But this creature has never existed before, because Christ has never been here before. Jesus Christ, the humanity of Christ, has never been on earth before. So you and I are a new species of creature on earth. Three, it is new in direction. It is new in origin, new in recipients, new in origin. The new command is that we are to love one another. That is all other believers. This is in contrast with your neighbor. This is one another. See? In the old commandment, your neighbor, fellow countrymen, Hebrews. But now, that's changed. New direction. Another believer. It may be one in Europe. It may be one in Africa. It may be one in the Middle East. It may be one in South America. Wherever they are, maybe your neighbor, maybe somebody in your own house, and that's where it gets tough. It's easy to love a believer in Brazil. It's not always so easy to love a believer in your own home, in your own church, where you see their faults. Familiarity breeds contempt. So this begins to be a little more difficult. This is the new commandment for all of us. All right, next. Four, it's new in foundation. A new foundation. As I have loved you. In contrast with the old, as you love yourself. See, in the old commandment, here's another Hebrew. I'm to love him as I love myself. So I think about me as I think about love toward them. The new commandment, I have to think about him. So I have to not think about this person, not think about myself. I have to think about him as he loves. So the new commandment, by virtue, demands that we be occupied with Christ. That we be occupied with how he loves. It's a wonderful new foundation. As I have loved you. So I think about how he loves me in spite of my sin nature, inherited sin nature, in spite of my failures, in spite of my faults, in spite of all of this kind of stuff, he still loves me. Now, that's how I love another believer who has faults, who also has an inherited sin nature. Whether it's someone in my home, my church, my family, my work. See? I'm to love them as he loves me. So, under the old commandment, love one another as you love yourself. Under that commandment, if you ever want to borrow money, make sure the person's in love with themselves that day. You don't want to ask somebody for a loan if they're mad at themselves. That's not going to work. But if you know that, boy, they're really sold on themselves today, hit them. Hit them for the loan. But see, in the church age, it's not about me and them. It's about the Lord and me and then them. So it is new in foundation. All right, five, new impact. New impact. Historical and spiritual. That all will know something. See, love manifests itself. Remember, spiritual love, the most basic thing about spiritual love, it sees a need and meets that need to the best of its ability. That can be seen. That can be seen. So this is what it has, a new impact. Okay, first of all, new impact to the believer. Constantly thinking of Christ. No longer thinking of yourself. If you're going to fulfill the new commandment, you don't think of yourself. You constantly think of Christ and how He loves you. See? The power of His love toward you. Instead of thinking about sin, failure, how wonderful someone may be, whether or not this person deserves my love or not, that has nothing to do with the issue. Christ loves you whether you deserve it or not. That's grace. That's compassion. When we fail, He loves us. See? That's how we're to love one another. So it has new impact on the individual. Secondly, it has new impact in the spiritual warfare. All will know that you are mine. See, in the old commandment, they would know that they're Hebrews, which was important. You had the little country of Israel, and you had countries of Assyria, Babylon, Egypt, all around you. So they would know that you're a Hebrew. Something about, this is one of the great problems with Abraham when he went into Egypt and told the Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister. How horrible is that? See? So Pharaoh he got really upset when he found out that they were married. There's just something about the way a Hebrew is treat a Hebrew, and people will know something special about the nation of Israel. Okay. New spiritual impact. Now they see and know something about who you are in Christ. They all will know that you are mine. What do you desire for people to know about you? That you're beautiful? That you're rich? That you're really cool? All this kind of stuff. Which is it? What do you want others to know about you in life? What do you want others to know about you at work? And we all don't be deceived. We all care what others think about us. We all care. We may not always think about it, but we care. So what do you want others to think about you? You can just tell some people. By the way they dress. They always dress, really cool all the time. Other people, they could care less how they dress. That's not who they are. Some people, it's what they drive. There's some people just gotta have this kind of car. That's who I am. Where I live, that's who I am. How I comb my hair, that's who I am. See? So, what do you want people to know about you? What's the most important thing you want people to know? When you walk into a grocery store? At work? Life. What do you want them to know about you? Get on a plane. What do you want them to know about you? See? We all have that desire. We know people make an assessment of us. So what do you want people to know about you? Well, under the new commandment, we want people to know, I'm a little Christ, a Christian. I belong to Christ. I'm not my own. I belong to Him. He's my Savior, friend. And that's what I want people to know. How are they going to know? Well, I'll tell them. No, that doesn't work. It's how we act, how we love, that they will know. So in the spiritual warfare, they will know that you are mine. Under the new commandment, the believer no longer thinks of himself, no longer thinks about sin, but by its very nature is caused to think about Jesus Christ and His love. See? So, this is the great issue. You have the Mosaic Law. Love one another as you love yourself. The New Commandment. You have love one another as Christ loved you. Okay. Now, when you live by this new commandment, by this love, you emphasize or draw attention to the love of Christ. That's what you're drawing attention to. This is not the way I love. This is the way Christ loves me. And therefore, a love that flows through me. See? So, you draw this to yourself. Not to sin. Not to how great you are. But to Jesus Christ. To the solution of sin. To the propitiation of all sin and of all wrong. Okay. Now, what is spiritual love? Under Roman numeral 1, we took up the new commandment. Now, what is this spiritual love? Alright, let me just start off by saying this because we're not going to develop this very much. Love cannot be defined. The Bible does not define love. I will never, as old as I get, forget the actual day in my office that this realization hit me. Because I, like everyone else, was going to define love. But I was going to make it simple. I was going to make it clear. So, and I'm serious, I did this. That's good. I write that down, I put that over here. That's good. I had paper all over that office. See? My wife thinks I'm messy now, she should have seen me then. Man, I had paper all over the place with these little notes of what I wanted to put. So I put it all together. Well, I'm like everybody else now. I got 5 or 6 pages trying to define love. And all of a sudden it hit me. The Bible doesn't define love. It describes love. It describes love. See? And therefore, we have an understanding of it. See? In this case, it's like gravity. You can't define gravity. You describe it. And then we know what gravity is. Gravity just kind of float. No pressure pulling you down. There's no gravity. No pull on you. So we describe it. Try to define gravity. Try to define love. Love is like a turtle. It crawls down your stomach and tickles your stomach. See? That type of thing. No, not a turtle. It's a lizard. Love is like a lizard. Crawls down your gizzard and tickles your stomach. Alright? So, we try to define love. You can't do it. But we can describe it. So, biblical words. Biblical words. Hebrew words for love. Love used of God. Love used of man. New Testament Greek words, got all kinds of words, but they don't define it. They describe it. So love is not defined, but described in the Bible. Illustration of gravity. We know as gravity is a force, and love is a force. Now, when I taught this years ago, I was criticized. No, love is like a magnet. It pulls you and all this. And that's good. I have no problem with that at all. But the Holy Spirit took me to understand love as a force. A force. Having 3 properties of a force. Direction. Magnitude. Impact or effect. So that's why I like the idea of a force. It has direction, magnitude, impact. I wish now I had majored in physics in college instead of economics because there's just so much to be learned from physics. But be that as it may, I see love as a spiritual force, having direction, magnitude, and effect. I'll give you a perfect example. The most well-known verse. John 3:16, for in this manner, God loved the world. Direction. So that he gave his only begotten Son. Magnitude. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is the impact. the effect of this love. So, I understand love as a force. Now, we just look at love. There are categories of love on earth. Categories of love on earth. First and foremost, divine love. Divine love. Contrasted with divine love, human love. Human love. This comes from the unbeliever and believer. It's part of our flesh nature. There is phileo love, family, friends. There is romantic love, husband and wife. There is value love. I love freedom. I love Texas. See? I don't know how, but some people love New York. I don't know how they can do that. See? But love's not explained. Doesn't explain why you fall in love sometime and who you fall in love with. We'll see that in the next hour. So there are three types of human love. Phileo love, family, friends. There is romantic love, husband and wife. There is value love. You love things. My mother used to tell all the time, oh, I love that. You don't love food. You don't love food. And it's very hard for me to say, well, I really love this because, man, 100 times, you don't love food. See? But I think I do. But anyway, I don't want to get in trouble with my mom. So, you don't love food, but there is value love. And then third, so there's divine love on earth, there's human love on earth, there is spiritual love. Spiritual love. Now, why do I call this spiritual love? I remember when I first started teaching this years ago, I'd get some calls from various pastors and wanted to use it. I said, hey, it's not mine. If you see it, it's yours. See? And so, why do we call it spiritual love? Well, first of all, the title gives you the function of this love. The subject of spiritual love gives you the source. The source of spiritual love is the Holy Spirit. That's the source. Therefore, spiritual love. The person of this love is the believer, a new spiritual creation. Therefore, spiritual love. When a believer, new spiritual creature, is empowered by the Holy Spirit pours in spiritual love. The human person, you and I, when we are in the flesh, cannot produce spiritual love. Most people are impressed with the love that comes from them. They are impressed with discipline of the flesh. They are impressed with discipline of their love. I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. I love God. How I love God. And they're so impressed with the discipline of their flesh nature. People, God is not impressed. Man is impressed. I'm impressed that an alcoholic can give up alcohol, has that flesh nature ability, or give up various things, discipline themselves in what they do in life. But God's not impressed with the flesh nature. God is impressed only with His Spirit and what flows out from us by His Spirit. Therefore, the divine nine are the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, spiritual love. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The emphasis of spiritual love is spiritual. It affects the spiritual world. The problem in America is not political. The problem in America is spiritual. We are morally depraved. We are spiritually bankrupt. The reason we're spiritually bankrupt, it's a fault of the pulpit. The pulpit is the fault in America today. Not Hollywood, not D.C., not West Coast to East Coast. The problem in America is the pulpit. The pulpits have failed the American people. One of the most beautiful things in history, and I'm so sorry that so few of the millennials and people see this, especially today, most beautiful is the success of capitalism. Why do people love America? Why do people hate America? Because the common little person can actually own a piece of the earth that's theirs, can make money, can make wealth, can have lots of wealth. The capitalistic system, the laissez-faire capitalistic system that our forefathers put together from Adam Smith, works. The problem, the church has not kept up with the economic system. The church has not prepared the soul to handle the prosperity. And therefore, one of the important words in a marriage, for better, for worse. And the emphasis used to be on the worse. It should be on the better. That's when people have adulterous affairs. They've got enough money to pay for a motel room. They've got enough money to pay to go to another city. They've got enough money to go here and to go there. They've got enough money to support their sinful life. The church has failed the American people. The economic system has worked beyond speculation, beyond dreams. The capitalistic system that we used to have and still have pieces of it in operation today still makes people wealthy, makes people have a nice income. As you compare it with other countries, see, Bernie Sanders, we can't make everyone rich, but we can make everyone poor. That's the motto of communism. We can make everyone poor, and therefore everyone will be equal. What a horrible system. What a horrible view of man. What a horrible thing to do to man. See, but you look at the economic system of capitalism. Yes, there's going to be poor. People, Christ said, you'll always have the poor with you. I don't care what system you use. Christ said, you will always have them. No system will get rid of it. Why? Because a lot of people don't care. They don't want to work. They live from garbage can to garbage can. That's fine with them. So you're always going to have poor. But if you want to go in America, go. Get it. Work. And capitalism will pay it off. But spiritually, bankrupt. Because the church has not kept up with the capitalistic system. The church has not fed the people the truth of the Word of God. Has not given the people the spiritual food that they need. Pastors don't want to study verse by verse, word by word, and teach the Word of God. They want to teach what tickles the ear, what gets thousands of people there, what makes people feel good. But it doesn't take you through the storms of life. Always remember 1 Corinthians 3. One pastor uses gold, silver, and precious stones. The other uses wood, hay, and stubble. Now, wood, hay, and stubble are not false doctrines. Wood, hay, and stubble are not lies. It's just superficial. It will not carry you through the storms of life. And that's what a lot of pastors do. It's not that what they say is wrong. It's what they don't say. See? They don't give you anything that will carry you through the storms of life. A storm can break down the wood, the hay, and the stubble. But if your pastor is giving you gold and silver and precious stones, that will weather the storm. That will get you through the storms in life. That will get you through the cancer, divorce, death, problems, suffering, things that happen in life, regardless of the economic system. You need something to help you spiritually in that system to get you going. See? That's why John Adams said, the Constitution, our Constitution, is not for everyone. It's for a Christian people. It will not govern a non-Christian people. And it isn't. And the day is coming when it will have to be changed. Because we're not that anymore. We are an immoral people. Completely immoral. Idolatrous. See? So, we're in a strange fix in America. Because there is little impact of spiritual love in the world. Because only the Holy Spirit can produce it. And I'm sorry to tell you, few pastors know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even those who know how to be saved correctly by the truth of the gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, they don't know how to be filled with the Spirit by that same phrase, by grace through faith. No, you got to yield, you got to confess, you got to do this, you got to do that to be filled with the Spirit. You got to listen to gospel music or hymns. You got to all this other type of stuff. They don't know how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. So, what is America? A nation that has no spiritual impact in the world. Countries don't want to be like America anymore. They want to see America taken down. They want to see it gone. All they see is the remnants of what was once a great nation. That's what happened to Rome. The Gauls came down and destroyed it. That's what's happened in America. We have no spiritual impact. See? America? Oh, people, America is so responsible for so much. It's responsible for getting the Word of God, the Bible, in languages. We've gone with American money, American financed missionaries, American financed people go into a country that didn't even have an alphabet, didn't even have their own vocabulary, and we taught them their own language and taught them to read it and then printed a Bible for them. Generally, it would start out with the Gospel of John, then it would go to the New Testament, and then finally the whole Bible. And we've done this throughout the whole world. There's hardly any place on earth that doesn't have access to the Word of God. In America, 99 cents at Walmart, you can get a copy of the eternal Word of God. That's America. But the pulpit has failed. And it's failed in teaching spiritual love. So, there's a dependence on spiritual love. There's a characteristic of spiritual love. The effect of spiritual love. The effect is on the believer. The effect is on society itself. See? So, these are the things about spiritual love and why I call it spiritual love. It's from a new spiritual creature. It's from the power of the Holy Spirit and has spiritual impact. Those, therefore, spiritual love. Now, let's ask a question. The new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Question, how did Jesus Christ love? How did he love? Now, if he loved from his deity, then we can't do it. He gave us a useless command because we're not deity. If he loved from his perfect humanity. I don't care what your mother told you. You're not perfect. We can't do it. If he did it, if he loved from his perfect humanity, we can't copy that because we're not perfect. If, and he did, loved from the power of the Holy Spirit, now we can do that. Because he gave to us his Spirit. See? First he gave us the command. And then, when he goes to heaven, He talked, first thing he said to the father was not, boy, you can't believe how pitiful those things are down there. He didn't say that. The first thing he said was, let's send him the Holy Spirit. Let's send him the third member of the Godhead. Because I want them to love like I love. Now we can do it. Because inside of every born-again believer, wherever they are, whatever age they are, whatever IQ they have, if they have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit took up residence. Eternal residence. You can never lose the Holy Spirit. I'm so frustrated by people who believe you can lose your salvation. What kind of God do you have? He's going to take away the imputation of righteousness. He's going to take away His Spirit as He's put inside of you. He's going to unborn you. Remember, when you believe in Christ, you're born again. So if you lose your salvation, that means you're unborn. You can't be unborn. That's simple. But there are people who believe you can lose your salvation. They've got their mindset on what? Sin. We need to keep our mindset on what? The cross. The work Christ did on the cross. What did He pay for all the sins or not? And if He did, then it's over. Done deal. Over. See? So, He gave to every one of us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So, we have the Holy Spirit. Now, the great question is, He's inside me, how do I appropriate or get Him to work through me and in me? That's the great question. And it's amazing how Christians come up with the idea works. Confession. Yielding. Being good. Tell God you're sorry you sinned. You'll never do it again. And for that he laughs. See? So, all of those kind of things. People, the pattern's already set. The pattern is already set at your salvation. How did you go from an unbeliever to a believer? By grace through faith. How do you go from a believer in sin to a believer not in sin in the power of the Spirit? By grace through faith. The object of faith for eternal life? Jesus Christ. The object of faith for our spirituality? The Holy Spirit. Trusting God. I have people that are really upset with me. Well, I can't trust the Holy Spirit. I don't know what the problem is trusting God. I really don't. Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit's God. God the Father's God. What's your problem? See? We trust the Holy Spirit, the one that God has sent. And when we do that, He empowers us, starts pouring in spiritual love. Now, second answer to the question, how did Jesus Christ love? First answer, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have it. Second, Christ's love was sacrificial to self and beneficial to others. Sacrificial to self, beneficial to others. That's how He loved. As God, He became man. As man, He became the servant of man, sacrificial of self. As man, He died on the cross for us, for the benefit of others. See, most people, when they love, it's about them. I love you, so bow down and do what I want you to do. I love you. How can you do that to me when I love you so much? My love is supposed to control you. My love is supposed to get what I want. No, that's not love. Love is sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. If I taught a singles class, most important thing I would teach them, be sure you want to marry. Be sure you want to fall in love. Because it's not about you. We think about marriage, it's about us. It's not about you. It's about the person you marry. You love them, you sacrifice for them. For their benefit. You're constantly thinking what they need today. What they need this morning. What they need now. See? And you meet that need. Physical, financial, emotional, whatever it is. You're aware. Love is always thinking. Love is always thinking. Not emoting, thinking. Thinking. See? So you have to think. That's what His love does. Sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. Why? If I do this for you, I'm going to have to give up something. This will be very strong in our next class. We're going to study this. A man refuses to do what he should do because he doesn't want to lose. Doesn't want to lose out. So you have to decide. Now, there are people today in our society, they don't want to marry for that very reason. They don't want to share their wealth. They don't want to share their freedom. They want to have the freedom. See? That's why a lot of people just live together in sin. See? And an immoral lifestyle. Because they just don't want to have that bond. We live in a very, very bankrupt country. So, love is sacrificial to self, beneficial to another. This is the way we're to love. Love one another as I've loved you. How did He love us? Sacrificial to self, benefit of the other. So when we think of other believers at home, church, work, life, it's for their benefit. Their spiritual benefit. See? That's what it's for. Alright. Now we move into our study. Before we get to 1 Corinthians 13, let's just take a look. Spiritual love as the more excellent way. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12. Verse 81. End of chapter 12. But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. See, don't desire tongues, all that kind of stuff, and desire the spiritual gifts that count in the local church. But I'm going to show you something more excellent than any spiritual gift. Because no spiritual gift is of any benefit without the more excellent way. So this is the more excellent way or the superior way. See? So the love that we're getting ready to study in 1 Corinthians 13 is the more excellent way. We are to pursue spiritual love. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 1, pursue love. So we are to pursue spiritual love. How do you pursue it? Living by faith. When God gives this command, it's not something we do physically. This is something we do in our souls, spiritually walking by faith. Third, spiritual love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. First of all, it's a more excellent way. Secondly, we are to pursue love. Three, spiritual love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've got just enough time to get ready for next Sunday morning. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, which we've already studied, describes a life without love. A life without spiritual love. A life without the love that the Holy Spirit produces. In verse 1, you say nothing without spiritual love. If I speak with the tongues, the languages of men and the languages of angels, which tells us that angels have language, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or an echoing sound. You say nothing. And if I taught young single people, I would make sure they listened. when he says, I love you to you, young lady, or she says, I love you to young man, is it empty words? Does she know what she's talking about? Does he know what he's talking about? Does he mean it? Secondly, so first of all, you say nothing. Secondly, you are nothing. Look at verse 2. You are nothing. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries, that is profound. To know all mysteries and all knowledge. Oh, wow. We're going to go through all eternity acquiring knowledge. But this guy is thinking, Paul is putting the supposition, suppose I have all knowledge. And if I had faith so as to remove mountains, insurmountable objects in life, but do not have love, I'm nothing. You're nothing without spiritual love, people. I don't care how much Bible doctrine you have, how much you give to the church, how often you go to the church. If you do not have spiritual love, you are nothing. So you say nothing without spiritual love. You are nothing without spiritual love. And then in verse 3, you do nothing without spiritual love. Verse 3, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned for the benefit of someone else, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So you say nothing, you are nothing, you do nothing. This is the great alchemizer, the great benefit to life, loving as Christ loved. We'll resume here next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are every day for your love. That you loved us so much, you sent your Son. But what is so amazing is that we can have this same love from a member of the Godhead flowing through us. The very same love by which you sent your Son, we actually can have that perfect love. But it must be from your Spirit, not from our flesh nature. I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, our Savior friend. In his precious name we pray. Amen.